Welcome to the third Manx Football Podcast of the 24-25 season. In this week's episode, we hear from Carlisle United's former Peel star, Freddie O'Donoghue, look ahead to this week's fixtures and wrap up a memorable week for FC Isle of Man. Right, Tom, you spoke to Freddie via the wonders of Zoom. Oh, actually, stop that. Take a minute, take a second.
Hello.
Hello.
Very informal, very rude of me.
No Adam Warren today, though.
That's why I'm all over the place.
He's still
a calming influence, isn't he? Except when he's thrown into an animal feces situation.
That's true. Yeah, he's a bit of a mental.
That's why he's not here today.
We've still not heard from the FA about that, have we?
No, we have not. So we don't know what's going to happen with that, really.
So it's still, the Battle of Station Fields is what we're talking about. If you didn't listen to this week's pod, I do recommend you give it a listen or a watch. As you can these days, because we do have the photographic evidence.
We do.
It's with the league management committee at the moment. So this is Colby's match with Castan that never happened the other week. So yes, it's a case of just it's a placeholder at the moment, isn't it?
So ideally, I think the player management meeting was on
league management.
Yeah, I keep calling that league management meeting was on Tuesday.
So just gone.
So there's likelihood is we might get something.
Yes.
From the FA. So hopefully, when Adam's back next week,
yes,
we might have a bit of a.
Clive Myrie will have an update for you then. But this week, you spoke to Freddie
via
the powers of Zoom and the internet. He's in Carlisle United. So tell us a bit about Freddie for those of us, the listeners that don't know about it.
So Freddie, Peel Junior, more or less the whole way through. He did have a year of morale amongst that. I did mention him that. And that's really who made him. But no, he played a bit up in Scotland. He got spotted when he played a game for Dundee FC against Carlisle. And then Carlisle took a punt on him. I think he said he scored a fair few goals against Carlisle, maybe in an under-18s match or something like that. Carlisle took a punt on him, and he made his debut not long ago.
Yes,
and he spoke all about what it's like. I think we did a story in the paper from Douglas Road to Brunton Park.
It's quite
some rise, and it's always nice, I think, to see a player coming from the Isle of Man going showing what he can do. I think I saw one comment on one of our posts saying, go and show them what Peel boys can do, and I think that's quite nice, isn't it?
So you've got a lovely 40-minute chat with him now, so we'll press try the wonders of iMovie. Other editing facilities are available. We'll listen to that now.
So, Freddie, first question I've got for you basically is, how is life in Carlisle?
It's all right, to be fair. A bit different to old Peel, but I've settled in quite well.
And how's the football going? Obviously, people are interested in you. People want to know how it's going. And you made your debut the other day at Brunton Park. Talk to me a bit about the emotions that was like playing, stepping out there for the first time.
I got used to like the fact of playing in front of people like throughout pre-season and everything. But, you know, I couldn't quite... Like, it was half-time. I was getting warm, just doing the bit on the pitch. Obviously, at half-time, the fans go out the stadium. Go get a beer or whatnot, or you know, pie. And I was thinking, like, I was warming up as usual. The kit man runs over to me and hands me my shirt, says, you know, you're going on. It's like, nah, I've got no clue. And obviously, I had like 5 minutes, which is probably for the best, you know, so I didn't really overthink or anything. But 5 minutes I had to sort of get ready, prepare myself, put my stuff on, and you know, I was out there. So at the time, I didn't really think much of it, but afterwards, you think, like, shit, I've just done that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I can imagine that's quite a surreal moment. Did you have to do many interviews, stuff like that, or were you just straight off? And
to be fair, just straight into the changing room, and like Gaff spoke. And then the media team just sort of pulled me and said, look, I was there. Asked me a few questions, and that was about it, really. But it wasn't anything extensive.
Is it been difficult getting used to all this, like attention and stuff like that? I know back here when playing for Peel, you probably didn't get anywhere near amount of coverage, and you're seeing your name. I went on the website and there's a nice big picture of you. So seeing yourself everywhere and stuff like that must be about quite surreal.
Yeah, to be fair, when it first started, I was thinking, Jesus, you know, you'd be happy to be in the team in a week back home. That'd be enough. In the team in a week, boys, look at that. But I think what was... I'll try and think the first thing that like was Football Manager was the first, because obviously me boys all played Football Manager, and You know, that was the first thing I thought, you know, Jesus. And then just more and more came. And I think I got used to it from there. To be fair, I
Yeah.
think I got used to it.
Fair enough. I remember speaking to Adam Long, and he said the first thing that he first realized he'd done well was Football Manager as well. I think straight
Yeah.
away, that's the people look for. Get yourself on
Yeah.
FIFA next, and you're happy days, aren't you? So
Well,
there's been a change in management since you've been there as well. What's that been like? Has that been difficult or?
to be fair, yeah, I think all the players, like we're all, I was brought in under obviously Paul Simpson, Gav Skelton, and Billy Barr came in January, I think, of last year. And to be fair, all the staff, that was what I was used to be fair. So, like, when they go, obviously, they've done so much for me personally. It's a bit gutting seeing all them go. But I can't thank them enough, really, that, you know, they got me to where I was, gave me the opportunity in the first place. But strange, obviously, I haven't really, it's the first time I've had to deal with anything like that. And yeah, it was weird when it, a bit gutting when it first happened, a bit weird, but I think you just sort of got to get over it, haven't you? It's football.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned when we spoke about a bit for the paper, you said that you came from Scotland. I just want to know a bit about that. So, did you play for Dundee at the start? Is that where you went from the Isle
Yeah,
of Man?
so it was a weird, like weird situation where I've been playing on the Isle of Man, and a lad called Jacko, who I know, sort of said, "Oh, he was watching me play, and he said, do you want to go on trial up in Scotland?" And obviously, as a kid, you're like, "I ain't going." And I was like, "Dad, we're going up to Scotland for this trial." And he was game, to be fair. So he went up to Dundee FC, and I was there for a while. I was trialing, and they basically got me in, and I was playing games. And then obviously the next step's an 18s contract. But as I was doing that, I think I'd been spotted by Rangers. And something had happened with Rangers. So I went there to train and trial. And towards the end of it, you know, you sort of see yourself. To be fair, I don't think they wanted us. And you see yourself like getting further and further away from, you know, getting a contract. And I sort of thought, you know what, all this travelling for what? So I sort of just came back to the Isle of Man just to play. I'd basically forgotten all about it, to be honest. And then turns out whilst I was at Dundee, we played Carlisle in a tournament. And sorry about that. Played Carlisle in a tournament. They'd been impressed. I think I'd scored a few. And I scored a few goals. Played well, basically push come to shove. I'm playing them again for the Ireland team, and like obviously they'd seen me before, and it was all sort of they'd been keeping an eye on me. And yeah, that's just sort of the whole crack with Scotland. But I think it definitely helped me a lot.
Happy days. And now you've had your like, it's almost like a bit of a teaser that you've played in front of the crowd, you made your debut. What are you looking for this season now? Is it looking for just to push on and get as many minutes as you can, or you've got any targets, any goals?
Like I said, like when we spoke for the paper, I said I'd be absolutely buzzing if you'd have told me this had happened. But obviously, it does motivate you. You want to work hard, but I don't really like to set too many goals. I've always sort of been quite easy going with it, or you know, see what happens. But definitely, like obviously, the main aspiration's as many minutes of professional football as possible. That's what you want.
See how it goes. And obviously,
Yeah.
everyone back in Peel is massively proud of you. Obviously, they shared the post, I think, and said how well you've
Yes.
done. You thanked, like, I think it was Justin Jackson and Bella were the two standout ones
Yeah.
that I recognised their names of. How inspirational were they for you in getting to where you are now? And what was the type of advice they were giving you when you were younger that made you get this far now?
To be fair, obviously coaches at Peel, Bella, Chappie, everyone that I had, Cliffy, everyone that I, you know, went through with, they were always just good with me, do you know what I mean? From a young lad. And then Justin Jackson, it's like he's my hero, to be fair. He's always been on top of me, making sure I'm doing right things. And he was the one that helped me with everything in Scotland, which I think set me in good stead. And you know, he'd been in the game, and I think his advice really just sort of, you know, he made it feel like more achievable, you know, going away and getting a career. And you know, he
Yeah.
made it feel more achievable than, you know, I probably thought in the first place. But
Yeah, obviously he's done it, so he's kind of showed
Yeah.
how to do it, hasn't he? So
Yeah. So yeah, he just sort of guided me through it, and then Bella and everyone, they sort of, but you know, they were just somewhat lean on, I guess, when, you know, I sort of hadn't gone my way up in Scotland, and I thought it was a bit, you know, and you know, them lot were at Peel, they were there for me and sort of, you know, got me back into playing football every week with my mates, which obviously was vital.
Yeah. And do you keep up to date with them now? I know you mentioned to me that you're still looking out at Peel scores. Do you still follow them all?
Yeah, yeah. I'm bang on it, to be fair. I try to be as much as I can. I was on the coach back from Bradford, and I was watching Peel highlights, and like obviously some of the players have grown up in academies, and you know they're like, what are you watching there? Like, oh, it's just me pals back home. They couldn't believe that I was watching me pals playing. But yeah, no, I still love it, and like every time I go back, come back home, even though it is rare, every time I go back home, that's, you know, the first thing I want to do is go and watch Peel play.
Yeah. Yeah, and they've got good setup now. I think you even mentioned that for a Manx football team now, Peel, the facilities up there. I mean, I personally love the bar up there, but I mean, the stand, the Tommy Clucas, everything down there now, they've kind of got it nailed to a T, don't they?
Yeah, it's good for Manx football, to be fair. You know, I think with the right backing, and, you know, I know it's been struggling at the moment a little bit, but with the right backing, the right coverage and everything, I think Manx football is obviously a great thing. It's what people want to speak about, do you know what I mean? And
exactly.
You can support local, you know, local businesses, get involved, charities and everything. I do think it is great. And what Peel have done, I think loads of clubs should be like looking at that and thinking, you know, it's achievable.
Yeah. Before we just move away from Carlisle, I want to ask a bit, what's life like outside of football? Are you getting to enjoy much of Carlisle while you're there?
To be fair, it's obviously a lovely place in the world, isn't it? Lake District. It's only 20 minutes from the Lake District. So I go there. It's got some good golf courses. I'm into me golf. So yeah, normally just when I've got the time is the most important thing. You don't get much time off. You know, proper time off, but I like to go play golf around Carlisle, obviously. The Lake District as well. It's lovely to go, even just for a walk with some of your pals. It is relaxing. It is nice.
Happy days. You can't go out to nightclubs and stuff. They're not like back home. You can get away with it. Peel and
no, not here. Like
it's a bit more professional.
You've got to be professional.
Yeah, absolutely. Just on Peel though, you play with all your mates. You play with a very good group of lads coming through. Is there anyone in particular that you think maybe could go across and play? Anyone other than you that you think could do well?
To be fair, I think all the lads that I went with were all unbelievable as a team. Everyone was unbelievable, and there's loads and loads of talent on the Isle of Man. It's just about getting found, putting the work in. Mm. And, you know, obviously it's a different game over here, but I think definitely a few of them could. Could definitely give it a go, and I'm sure they'd be all right.
But a lot of praise has been given to Peel Juniors for obviously making you the player you are. But I believe you originally started at this team right here, didn't you, Freddie? Did you? I got told about this after we did the newspaper article. Otherwise, I would have given it to Moran.
Who told you that?
So I was in the Crosby, and Niall. It was Niall Gibney actually, and he said you were down at Moran at a very young age. Was it for long though? How long were you at Moran Juniors for?
I had a year at Moran Juniors.
1 year.
Worst year of my life. No, to be fair, even Moran, like when I was at Moran, obviously a lot of me pals that moved to Peel were all at Moran, sort of who I kicked about with. And even then, they were like, as much as it pains me to say it, and I probably shouldn't, they were great.
Yeah.
We had a good team as well. I remember we had quite a good team back then. And I think that sort of helped drag me to Moran for a year. But like I say, I was very young. And my heart lies with Peel, definitely.
Yeah, of course. And that's what tends to happen to Moran teams. Obviously, we've got a good group of bunch coming through juniors, and then they all disperse. So
yeah,
it seems to be always the way, especially Peel. They come calling, and I guess some people, they want to go out there. And I guess with that ground and stand now, I think I was watching the highlights back of Saturday's game, Peel against Laxey. The stand was full. So it's like, fair play that Peel are dragging them crowds in.
It's incredible, really. It's like, it's weird because obviously it's not professional football, but you feel like there's people watching, even if it is your mum, your dad, and your pals.
Yeah,
it's a good atmosphere.
Yeah,
Real good community there. So
no,
I
it was
used to
really
love it
good.
anyway.
Dave Norton was down there, one of our podcast hosts, I should say, actually. Him and Andy are the hosts, and Dave was down there, and he said it was brilliant atmosphere, but the pasties had run out, and I think that was the only reason he was there. So I think he was a bit good.
Aye, pasties are good, to be fair. That's another selling point of Peel.
Yeah, he got a good game to watch, though, and Peel obviously won. I'll leave you with a final question. Peel face Onken this Saturday. Can you give us a score prediction for that? Onken newly promoted. Have you got any idea of what the score will be?
I don't want to be disrespectful. I'll say 5-0 Peel.
5-0 Peel. That's probably fair. Peel are in great form, to be fair. And I thought Laxey would give them more of a trouble, but yeah, Peel are doing well at the top. And I think it'll be between them and Ayr again, if I had to guess now. I didn't think that at the start of the season, but Peel have, I mean, they've got Taylor Brown is on fire at the minute. So
on fire, I've seen, aye.
Yeah, with the hat trick on Saturday.
Yeah.
Not bad at all. Well,
good squad.
That's perfect, Freddie. Thanks so much for speaking to us.
No worries, mate. Anytime.
Well,
see you in a bit.
Cracking interview, Tom. Really enjoyed that. Freddie seems like a lovely lad.
Yes,
he's only 17.
He's only 17. He's very young, and he's. It's quite. The bit I was most interested in that was not so much about the football. The big thing about moving away from your family at that age to go and just to just go on your own, live there. I know the Fef, you've done it. Adam Long, Pinnington as well.
Yeah.
He did it for a little bit of Bury. So like, it must be quite a big step for them to go out there, do it, play their football, and then it's like. But one thing he did say, he was not far away from the Lake District, and he gets to go on nice walks. So I did ask him about nightclubbing, but he says he's quite a professional nowadays. So, yeah, and he's looking older.
Yeah.
So.
And a nice mention of Justin Jackson and a few of the other guys that have helped him along the way as well. So, a great interview that. Right, let's look ahead to this weekend's fixtures, Dave. We've got the, how many games in the Cadillac Ferry? Six games in the Cadillac Ferry this afternoon. Yeah, we're all kicking off at 2:30 p.m. this week. Where should we start with this one? I haven't done my little numbering system this week, so I'm a bit like pinning the tail on a donkey here. I'm going to go with Western Derby to start today's conversation.
Okay.
Let's go to the
Molyneux Cloyne
and St John's United versus Foxdale.
It's the A3 Derby, it's called, isn't it?
Is it?
A3, I'm convinced. I think that's what they call it, yeah.
The A3 part?
Yeah, because it goes from the A3
road. I'm aware of the road, but I didn't realise it was.
Yeah, I'm fairly sure that's a term.
We need to have a bit more of a punchy, catchy term.
A3, I like it.
Isn't there A3 marquees?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, St John's Foxdale, Dave. Foxdale, great result last week.
Yeah, we've got to talk about that. I mean, yeah,
not
a lot so far. How are you feeling, Tom?
It's not. I was personally quite excited. The Conwy
1-5-1,
quite a comfortable win, I must say. Could have been more. But no, the first team, it was. I think we put a post out around saying it was just one of those really, really bad days that you get. And Moran not started well at all.
8-1 is very bad.
Yeah, it's
against the team. I think we talked about it briefly in last week's pod. We're going to be there or thereabouts.
But I think when you sign a 34 goal striker who lifts the whole team. Foxdale, I think I've said it in the past 2 weeks loads of times, but they've overtaken Moran in the past 12 to 18 months with the way they've worked up through Div 2. They've done it, they've got back up, and they've announced this mega signing.
Yeah.
And I'd never thought it was going to be 8-1. I never thought it would be that far apart. Part of me did fear that Foxdale could win, but 8-1, I would never have guessed it. And you know what? Fair play to Foxdale, because that is some result, and they're flying. 6 points now, and they've got a bridge gap between them. And I think, despite this League Ale signing, the start of the season their aim would have been to stay in the league. I don't think they're that far, many far away.
No, I said 15 last week. You said it was actually 20 was the.
Well, last year Moran got 21 and we weren't safe.
So I think it's going to be there or thereabouts again this season.
Hello. So Andy has disappeared.
He got fed up with us quickly, didn't he?
Basically what happened was we recorded it, we chatted away for about an hour and a half, probably our best podcast yet.
And that's saying something.
And then we discovered that it stopped recording after 6 minutes, so we were just three lads sat talking about Manx football fixtures for no reason.
Exactly, we didn't even have a pint in our hand.
We didn't even have a pint in our hand. I've got a very milky tea in front of me right now.
Yeah, I'm sporting a lovely Manx Footy Pod mug with Harry's face on it.
Fantastic,
as usual, as always. Currently supplied by Rory Poole.
Oh, what a guy. So, yeah, so it's going to be a bit of a... We're just going to run through all the fixtures now, because basically we've massively messed up our equipment. We don't even have the mics. It's all been a bit of a bit of a mess, but we're here. We're going to talk about the Premier League and Division 2 without Andy, just me and Dave. Probably the two favourites, really.
Well, I mean, speak for yourself, mate.
Where next, Dave?
Well, you've mentioned Moran.
Yeah.
I suppose we've got to go to the playing fields. Moran are taking on Rushen.
Yeah, this is interesting, this one, because Rushen haven't started the season at all well. I think most people had them there and thereabouts towards the top of the table, at least in the top four, the Railway Cup. And it's not been that way so far. They've made some great signs as well. Danny Lane, Adam Lane, his cousin, I think.
Yeah. Really good squad. You know, we know there's a lot of talent in that team. They have had a tough start to the season, as you say. They've also had tough teams to face. They got a point last week against St Mary's 2-2.
I think that's a good point, you know, because Mary's are no, exactly.
I think. You know, I watched St Mary's on the opening day. It was just a bad day in the office. Can happen to any team, just ask Moran.
Throwing shade here, we're not even
Rushen, off the back of that good point, I think.
They'll be confident, won't they? They'll be, yeah. I mean, I think every team coming to the playing fields this season will be quite confident. Moran, it's going to be a tough old season yet again. It's just all about finding points where we can, and this is one that I think Moran we should be looking at and going, this is where we can get something. I know I said that about last week that it was 8-1, but no, I think Moran will be looking to put it right.
How has it been in training this week? Have you guys?
So obviously I've not been training, but I watched some boys on Tuesday, and it was mainly fitness. I think it was mainly just putting through the paces. I think that's almost a bit of a punishment kind of for how bad it was, but also maybe a bit of a wake up call.
Well, I'm guessing Bruiser wants it to be a bit of a deterrent, doesn't he? You know, he wants to.
It can't happen
again. Yeah, he wants the players to know that they'll be punished. Not sounds bad, but they'll be punished if they don't play well.
But it's almost I think it's so inexcusable to lose that score in like a derby game. Brown and Foxdale, there's a bit of a rivalry there that we've kind of forged basically.
You and Barton basically, isn't it?
I just think Moran should be looking to put it right this weekend, and this one's a big one. And if you look at the table, this. Rushen could end. I can't see Rushen being down there towards the end of the season.
No.
But right now they are, and Moran need points from anywhere. So I think we've got to look at this and go, it's at home against Rushen, who are not starting the season so well. And I'm going to go with the Moran win.
Are you?
Everyone, Dave.
What's your score prediction?
It'll be tight again. I'd love to sit here and say it'll be a 5-0 or something. But we know we're not very good at scoring goals. We're not very good at keeping that well on net this season.
You never know. You just never know.
And I don't know I'm not 100% sure what the team's looking like so far. I think we might have a couple missing, maybe a few injuries and knocks here.
Which does deter
you, doesn't it?
It makes a huge difference. You know, I again, the same could be said for Rushen. I mean, you know, they've obviously got certain players, Al Maitland and the boys that are involved in FC Alamann. So they're more often than not, they're not in the team. But you never know with FC Alamann at home.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, you might get them playing a few minutes off the bench or whatever, but either way, tough game. I think it's going to be close. I think it's going to be a lot closer than people think.
But you're going to break my heart.
But I am going to break your heart, Tom. Sorry. I think Rushen 2-1.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
See, that would be a bit better than the 8-1 we had last weekend, but I don't think we'd take it. We need points, don't we? So,
yeah.
Maybe a point would be a good point, you know.
Yeah.
The draw there would be at home. Get the season rolling, maybe.
That's the thing. Just a bit of momentum, a bit of confidence back at the
time. I'll be watching this one. I'll be doing a report on it, so, and I won't be doing one if we lose. So,
what are you going to do, pasty watch?
I don't know what food I'm thinking we might have some food offers. I don't know, I'm also in the canteen at half-time.
Oh, good, so we want a thorough assessment of the group.
Well, I'm hoping we'll have some food, I'm not 100% sure we will, but we'll definitely have the usual teas and coffees, maybe the cheapest in Manx football, tell me if I'm wrong, but a pound of tea I think is a very good deal.
That's decent.
You've been around the club.
I have been around the club, but
Where's the good tea, coffee?
I think most clubs do a good cup of tea, to be honest. I wouldn't like to single any of them out in particular. I think you get ones where you get proper mug of tea at a lot of places, then you get others which will have like a vat of tea, and they tend to be a little bit cheaper.
Yeah.
They're always good though as well. A word on the food front though, I went to Peel last week and their pasties are usually amazing. They didn't have any.
They
ran out. It just shows you how slow I was getting.
They should have known that you were coming. You could have had 4 or 5.
Look at the steak. I do every day, mate.
Fair, Peel, I've got to say, not a big fan of the pool, as you well know.
But you've never made that clear, mate.
But the pasties, to be fair,
I suppose then we'll go with Peel for the next one. They're on the road this week, so they're visiting the Nivison Stadium. They're playing Onken.
Yeah, Onken. Wow, they've It's been an interesting start then. Have they only played two games, I think, for them?
Two games, so they're in 12th. They've got no points. But again, they've had a tough start.
If you'd have said to them they're playing, I think they had Ayr at the start. And you know what? The 2-1 loss to Ayr, that would give you confidence even though you've lost.
Massively. I mean, no one would have expected them to even come close to
them. But then it's Ayr being Ayr and scraping by, doing the old Geordie style.
Exactly, you couldn't set it better.
Finding a way to win, isn't it? But fair play to Onken for that result.
That was great. And so obviously last week though, Onken lost to St George's. Yeah. They were 1-0 up in that game, I believe. And they had plenty of chances, according to Dean, did the report from up front footy.
Yeah.
They had lots of chances, they just couldn't take them all. And Geordie's hit back, and that's a big 3 points for Geordie's now.
I think they'll be disappointed not to get something there though. I mean, if you sign half of another club, you should be a bit stronger. They've knocked on Douglas Royal's doors and taken everyone apart from the tea lady. They've left her. So Onken will be to make that many signings, and some good ones in there as well. I know the Royals had some good, very handy players. They kept them up year after year. Yeah. I mean, Royals, I think last year maybe should be in the year, and they almost got dragged into a relegation fight towards the end of last year. So they've Onken have made a lot of signings, but this one I think will be too much for Peel. We've got to talk about Thomas Brown.
Oh, he's in some form, isn't he?
I mean, he won the Young Football Writers of the Year, and after it I said to him, can you win it again this year? And he can, because he's 20 and he's turned 21, so he's got another year.
If I was
a betting man,
to be honest, I mean, he's already I haven't seen the player standing so far. I know we're only 3 weeks into the season. He's got to be already, I mean, he's probably in contention for player of the month. I mean, he had a hat-trick against Laxey last week, and he's scored in the previous two games as well. He is on fire. And the variety of goals that he scored last week against Laxey. He showed good strength to hold off a defender, fired it left foot past the keeper. And even his hat-trick goal, hat-trick goal was a tap-in, but his second goal, he fired it in from 25 yards out, right foot in off the post. And she's got a variety, he can score many different types of goals.
Yeah, and that's huge in an attacker, isn't it? And as well, the players with him up there.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Reece Oates, Taylor Andrews.
Yeah, both had really good games last week.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think I mentioned it to you guys previously. To lose Lee Gale, a 34-goal striker, and have that front three still there, is like, it's a joke.
It's an embarrassment for Richards, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. It's like, who loses that attack and they're still firing goals, and they've been scoring 6 past Laxey.
Good
defence, and Matty Ogden's just gone there to make a stronger back four as well.
Yeah, he played well as well. I think it is an embarrassment to Richards. I think one of the most pleasing things from a Peel point of view, I could be wrong, but for them it's probably seeing Research complete 90 minutes.
Yeah.
He's obviously had a lot of injury problems, but I tell you what, he's looking sharp. He played really well last weekend.
Some players, there was talk of him going back to St John's. I did see that on up front 43 in the middle at the start of
the Western Derby move.
Because he used to be there, didn't he?
He did.
But fire with Peel, and I think that attack, you know what, that team in general, Peel, I think people kind of maybe wrote them off a little bit, losing Gaylor, Luke Doherty not playing this season as well at the back. So I think people may have wrote Peel off. I think them and Ayr are still the front runners.
Well, 3 minutes for free, you can't knock them.
No,
so,
we'll see.
So Onken Peel, I mean, I think Onken, good side. They've made a lot of good signings. A promising start to the season. Performance-wise, maybe not results-wise.
Yeah.
I think this will be a similar case. I think they'll probably play well, but I would fancy Peel to get the 3 points.
Yeah. I've just realised I kind of only ever predict the favourites. There's no shock, so I need to think of a shock this week. Maybe the Moran Bush one is a shock, actually.
But yeah, that is.
But no, I'm not going to have a shock in this one. I think Peel will. I don't think it'll be comfortable. It'll be a bit like the Ayr one, where they have to work their way past Onken. I think Onken will be resilient, but no, I think Peel will take the 3 points from the Nivisinen Stadium.
Get it right. Home soccer operation.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, then we'll go from the home of Stockport Racing to the home of the champions. We'll go up to Andreas.
Yeah.
So Ayr United are playing St George's.
This is like the present versus the past.
It is.
Not saying in a bad way to Geordie, obviously them boys still playing is incredible. And they've got some youngsters come back from the uni. I think Lewis Brightson, a couple others come back into the fold.
Former podcast favourite.
Yeah.
I think very good player, Lewis. I think you just hit the nail on the head. It is... A lot of experience in that squad, but also a lot of youth coming through, a lot of good talented players, and it's just about getting that balance right, week in, week out. We've got to give a mention to Ash Higginbotham last week.
Former Ram,
legend. Yeah.
Went on to the worst things.
Who you can say that? but yeah, he got 2 goals last week in their 3-1 win over Onken, so that's a major plus, because I think one of the questions was where were the goals going to come from for Geordie's, and if he can find the back of the net.
He was playing at the back last season, though, so he must be playing further up, surely, or is he just scoring from defence?
I'm sure I've seen him play in every single position.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of them players I think the managers must love, because anyone that picks up a knock, he just chuck Higgy there. I've not seen him in goal, though.
Let's make it happen. Come on, Johnny Myers. Pop a goal.
So can you see Jordy's getting anything here? I know, we don't even need to speak about how quality they are. I think they're quietly going about their business. I think you said that earlier. It's kind of, again, flying under the radar.
I think you obviously spoke to Hertie at the Football Writers Awards. They haven't even got a full-strength team just yet. I mean, they've got a lot of players available, but they've also got a few big ones, including Hurt himself.
When he's back, I mean, how old is Nick Hurt?
I don't know whether Nicola might be saying it. I'm going to say, he's mid-40s,
And the fact that he can come in, step into that team of air players who have already got quality and still play at this age and still be class. I think he won Player of the Month last year at one point.
He did. Look through that spine of that team. I mean, they've got a quality goalkeeper. Their defender, we've got Hurty, as you mentioned there, but Jamie Callister and people like that. I mean, Jamie's a quality player. And when you've got Sean Kelly, you've got Danny Oram, you've got Johnny Shields. Harry Best, you look at any position.
They're so well drilled, aren't they, as well? Yeah. The players know exactly what they're doing, they're no messing about, and I think I can only see an air win at home here. I think Jordy's might make a hold for them again, but I still can see maybe 3-4-1 air. I think Jordy's might pick up a goal as well.
Hard to disagree with you. I think it might be similar to the Air Open game last week. I think Jordy's will give them a right throw for the money, they'll be fired up for it.
They're no pushovers, Jordy's, are they? As we know, even though they're not the Jordy's of old, they're still the hard team to come up against, aren't they?
Well, you can't really buy that experience, can you? Yeah. You know, a lot of those players have been there and done that. So.
I like Manx football, legends, but still playing, and I always hate calling people legends when they're still playing. You know, like, it's a bit like a player playing in the Premier League. You know when Mark Noble was at the end of his career, and he is obviously a legend, but people were calling him a legend while he was playing. I hate that. I think you've got to retire or move on to be deemed as a legend.
I agree with you on that. Yeah. I think it's you know, it could all go dramatically wrong at the end of his career, but we can't look past the word legend for some of those players that you always know. I mean, some of the best footballers, next footballers seen.
And they're still kicking the ball out on a Saturday for their club, and that's good.
Do you know what? It goes beyond just kicking the ball. It's everything they do for the club behind the scenes, which has been key for them, because they've lost a lot of personnel behind the scenes the last few years. And I think that to keep the football going, you know yourself, you're a club man from around, the amount of effort it takes behind the scenes to get everything ticking
over. There's certain players and people at clubs that probably just turn up, get their kit and leave, and they don't see all the graft and hard work that goes on behind the scenes, the committee meetings, the endless time you've got to sit there and talk about really rubbish. It is frustrating that people maybe just take that for granted. But Geordie's, the one thing I will say is that let's just hope that they can. I think they've got a combi this year, so there should be no concerns about them not fielding a side. Last year, obviously, I think I got wound up more than anyone about Geordie's and the frustration with that.
Johnny Myers would have a say on that, I think.
I'd love to get him in. I think Dean's had one, hasn't he? Or is he going to have one?
I think so, Johnny's a class act, so he's going to get in.
But hopefully Geordie's will have no issues this season, but I do think it'll be an only air win.
Yeah, no, I think air will win, but tough game.
Yeah.
We'll go a few miles down the road then. We'll go Ramsey versus Union Mills, which has got
both on the back losses, aren't they?
Exactly. It's got a bit more riding on it than we thought a week ago. So obviously, Ramsey lost 3-0 at home, 3-0 at Battle Fletcher to Corinthians.
Yeah.
And as we've said, Union Mills, that defeat to St John's, that's probably a tough one for them to take, because they've got such a good squad there.
They do. This is a tough one to call, because I would have had Ramsey winning last week and I would have had Mills winning last week, and now they've not. Both will be desperate to make it right, and they're coming up against each other. The only reason I'm going to go for a Ramsey win is just a home advantage, and I think I was speaking to someone the other day, and they was naming clubs that they think home advantage applies, and Ramsey, I think, is one of them. I mean, Ramsey, it just feels like when you get beat by Ramsey, there's something about it that you feel off.
Well, do you think it's also part of the stand is part of that? It's obviously a big stand, isn't it?
And that's huge, isn't it?
You know, you've kind of got it towering over you a little bit. Do you think it's like a psychological?
It could be that, because Peel's the same. I know Peel's is a lot smaller, but Peel can actually fill theirs. Ramsey, they do well to fill theirs. I know Ramsey have got a great following, but they do well to cram it in. They're actually doing up their clubhouse. I'm hoping to go down and see it.
Well, that'd be good.
That'd be a good little podcast special.
Yeah,
I think Liam's going to arrange that.
Take the pod on the road then.
Yeah, exactly. So they're doing up their clubhouse. And again, Ramsey have got really people behind the scenes that are absolute Ramsey diehards.
Oh, yeah.
And they do all the work. And it's a lot of the players as well. I know Pickles and that are involved in that.
Yeah, well, I think, and this was something that was mentioned on our ill-fated recording of this podcast, but the groundsman, it'd be good to do a podcast with some groundsmen.
A groundsman episode, Andy Kane on the pod.
Yeah, it's not like that. I mentioned to Ramsey because I think it was Jamie O'Neill when he was groundsman there, he won an award a few years ago. So they know what they're doing up there. Yeah. It's a great venue. But
this will be a tough one to call. I'm going to go Ramsey tight. It'll be tight because Mills are still at Mills. I know they've, I know they lost last week, but they'll be, they've still got such a good. Good squad. It'll be interesting to see where the Booth is in.
Well, the Booth is in the SL Man's squad now. But it's at home. So again,
when you take out Luke Booth and that Union Mill squad, it's still the attack is still.
That's ridiculous. So they sound Dom and Cammy Brennan.
That's a great sign, you know.
Tyler Hughes, who also played for FC Alaman, you know, Jordan Crawley hasn't played yet, as far as I'm aware.
Wow.
Honestly, that team, it's just Jack Murray.
Kyle Uren as well.
Kyle Uren's in. He scored for the Combi last week.
Yeah, so he should be my rugby first team. I think Mills will bring a good squad. I think Ramsey will make last week right and win, and I'm going to go with a 2-0 win for Ramsey.
Right.
Maybe a clean sheet at home for them.
I'm going to sit in the Andy Dalrymple Memorial fence. I'm going to go for a Desmond 2-2.
You got one right last week.
I did. I think it was the Russian Mary's game, but I'm not sure. To be fair, it's a scattergun approach, mate.
Yeah, yeah.
You'll
get one right here.
Yeah, exactly.
That's exactly how
it's a good return for me, though. So.
Where are we off to next, Dave?
Right, well, last game in the Premier League is at Glen Road, down the East Coast. It's Laxey versus Corinthians.
So this is an interesting one, because you were at Laxey Peel last week, and I think Laxey, the scoreline doesn't represent that. I think you will know more than anyone. You were there reporting on it. The scoreline doesn't represent. And I think me and Andy in the episode that didn't go out, that we recorded, that we just spoke, Andy was arguing that 6-2 is still a comfortable win. And I said, it doesn't matter, because if that ball that we don't know is in the line or not at 3-2, that goes in to make it 3-all, Laxey have all the momentum. They could have gone on to win it.
Yeah, absolutely. To put it into context, Peel went 2-0 up, but then Laxey got it back to 2-all. But lots of chances for both sides. Unfortunately, for Laxey, Peel scored straight away again when... to make it 3-2, literally seconds after the restart. Killed the momentum a little bit. But then in the 80th minute, Laxey, I mean, you can have a look at this clip.
We've analysed the highlights, haven't we?
Yeah, on Peel's YouTube channel there, check it out.
It's a terrible angle to judge, though.
Yeah, it's a difficult one. So, basically, a good move down the left. Jack Keelan, talented youngster off the bench. He does well, beats the keeper to the ball, and basically crosses it across goal. Whether it's a cross or a shot, I don't know, but it's going wide. Eric Hill runs in, and the only problem with him is he doesn't get the right power on it.
Yeah, it's a bit of a soft hit, isn't it?
Yeah, it's one of those things. He's under pressure from a defender, so it's one of those. But
you can't blame the ref, can you? He had no line those, and also, he can't give a goal if he doesn't see a goal.
Well, this is it, yeah. I mean, so he has a shot. Aaron Costain somehow gets back and clears it off the line. And Laxey are adamant it's crossed the line. Stu Morris is the ref. He's had a great game, but he doesn't have linesman, and he can't really give it. And
no, it's like the other way around. It's always harder to give a goal if you don't know it's a goal, and you just got to go safe and say it wasn't. And if he's not 100% certain, he's not 100% certain. But Laxey will be furious about that. Well, not they'll just and you said it did make it had a lot of effect. Their heads went down a bit.
Yeah, I mean, at that point, as you say, it's 3-all in the last 10 minutes, and the momentum's completely with them at that point. But. The opposite is true. Their heads dropped, and then Peel scored 3 times in the last 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So it makes it look.
People must have seen that game on Peel.
Yeah.
But in reality, that wasn't the way it went.
Yeah. I mean, it could have gone either way. It really could have. So a lot of positives there for Laxey. They were missing Tom Cowan. Obviously, they missed their captain last weekend, but he's back this weekend.
He is back this weekend. Yeah. But, he's here.
But
he's,
I think it could be a similar sort of game this weekend, like they're up against the free scoring Corinthians side.
I can't believe, right, Corinthians, what is going on? I put them to go down and they've won 3 out of 3. And they look strong.
Well, don't you know that Ben Baltram is using your words of wisdom as his team talk, his motivational talk every single week, mate.
I that would be hilarious, by the way, if we did. Imagine put up like, oh god.
I think your face is on the dartboard in a few clubs, to be fair, mate.
Well, that I hope so as well. But that would be, I don't know, Corinthians, I just don't know where it came from. And in fairness, I only put them to go down. I thought they were sleepwalking to it. because last year weren't that strong. Obviously, got players in FC Armagh, but they're quite a young team. I thought they were walking towards relegation. Obviously, they proved me wrong. If we're saying 15 is the market, they're well on the way. And also, I think part of me put them down, two down, because I couldn't really think of many other clubs other than Moran, and I'm not going to ever do that. So,
well, look, mate, we all get our predictions wrong.
They're flying, and fair play, that young squad, we've got Joe Middleton,
Jean Marcus,
strong.
Baron Colley, they've got Jack Corrigan goal.
They've always got a good youth coming through, don't
they? They have, and supplemented with the experienced heads like your Stewie Smith, your Darren Kane, the Ridings boys, it's a good squad. Probably.
Yeah, of course. So, I don't know, I think this will be tough to call. I still feel like Corinthians are going to keep going. I'm going to smile when I say this because it's Laxey and it's a few of the boys I know. I'm going to go with the Corinthians win.
Do you know what, Tom? I have your point because you managed not to say Cam Avery or Adam Beale in there. You did really well.
Now I'm on that topic. Should we? No. We stopped in the Crosby on Saturday, to be fair to them.
What did they say about the match?
I spoke about to Cam more about my combi match than he told me about his big.
Well, we'll get to the combi match later, and that's fair enough because it was highlight of your career. So
it's not hard to do that, is it?
So tough one call, I think. Close. I know I say tough one call in every single match because of my broken record, but
you're gonna go.
Do you know what? I'm gonna sit on the fence again. I'm gonna go for a draw, but I'm gonna go 4-4. I'm gonna go
4-4.
Ridiculous.
Wow, I hope it isn't. That'd be a hell of a game. Yeah. And they're two good teams, aren't they? So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah. Right, so we move to the Arden and Kevin Drugan Division 2.
We will.
Best league in Europe, of course. And I suppose we start Blackburn Lane. We've got Old Boys versus Maloo.
I think that's probably the game of the day, maybe.
Yeah.
End of two.
It's tricky this season because there's a fewer teams in this. We're only getting four or five games each week.
Yeah.
And I guess we'll go on to it in a sec, but I think momentum is a big, it has a big impact.
We previously spoke about this. I think Andy asked the question about whether or not you'd rather keep playing every week or you almost want these little Saturdays off, maybe see the family, have the time off. But I think it's different when you're winning and you're losing. I think sometimes when you're losing, you kind of like, have a week off here, maybe.
Yeah.
But then you also maybe want to put it right.
Yeah, just say, are you chopping up the bits to try and get back
exactly.
out there?
But then if you're winning, you don't want to disrupt the flow. If you're constantly picking up points, you don't want to Saturday off, do you? All you want to do is win. So,
well, we look at it in this league. Colby played on the opening day and won. Great result for them. They haven't played since. And for them, I don't know, maybe they're...
That comes down to the burning question of should teams be allowed to only field a combi, doesn't it? And that opens a whole can of worms that we can go to on a different podcast.
Yeah, if anyone's got any particular views, send them in to us. Yeah. We'll talk about it on a future pod.
Because I'm not sure it should. The league is... The second division and the first division are the two most important things.
Yeah.
And I think if you can name a combi, possibly you should really be naming that as a first team, no matter how poor it is. But then I think the FA maybe made a rod for their own back by doing it at the start. You know, they originally allowed Bradham to do it, maybe?
Yeah, I think it's a tricky one, isn't it? Because you obviously want to keep the integrity of the leagues intact. Yeah. And we'll come on to that because obviously women's football is struggling with this year. You want to keep the integrity of the league intact, but also you want to make it fun for the players. And do you really want to be turning up every week and getting hammered? It's difficult, isn't it?
It is. And you don't want to stuff in there. Daffy did quite well in Combi 2 last year.
Anyway, so I think they finished fourth.
Yeah, exactly. So maybe that team wouldn't be that bad. Anyway, that's a topic for another day.
Oh, well, we always digress.
We do. Old Boys Maloo, though. Probably.
Yeah. Tough game to call this one.
It is. I think we described it as meaty in the office.
Feisty. Old Boys, good start to the campaign. They're sitting second. They've had two wins in their two games.
I think we all had them there or thereabout at the top.
Yeah.
I think they're one of the strongest of two teams this year. And you know what? I think it looks like another Old Boys win here. Maloo, I can't see them picking up anything. Look for like...
Yeah.
They're struggling, Maloo.
Word to Maloo, they were on the receiving end of a true Meg football scoreline last week. They lost 6-5 to Governors.
That sounds like a thriller.
I mean, you score five goals at home, you're thinking, I'm going to win this. They've got the 3 points in the bag. Somehow they didn't.
Two scoreline ever.
Yeah. So they've got some goal scorers in the squad that, you know, that's a good plus for them. But I'm with you on this one, I think. Old Boys, just got a bit more about them.
They'll be too strong, and I think they'll keep the momentum going. Where next, Dave?
Should we go Pulley versus Michael?
See, this one I can see being a tough old day for Pulley, but they have brought in some James McGinn's back.
Art legend.
Yeah, yeah.
Pasty legend.
Exactly, yeah. Pulley legend, so I don't know.
Yeah.
Probably be strong, but Michael, free flow now, aren't they? They got it underway. What was their score?
Well, yeah, we talk about Max football scores. 13-3 against Douglaston Christian.
The big thing there is I think Liam Kane's got his first goals of the campaign. Yeah. And I think we all had him as Combi, Silver Boot winner.
Yeah. Four goals, not bad, is it?
It's not bad. It's a good. The biggest probably surprise was he hadn't scored earlier.
Absolutely. I mean, he had an amazing season last year.
But you just get four just to make you catch up, basically.
Exactly. Yeah,
and that's what you can do against these teams. And I reckon he's sat there somewhere today in his office, maybe thinking, I reckon I could bag a few against Pulley.
He probably is. A word for Pulley, though, I mean, they lost 4-0 to Braddon last week. Mm-hmm. And okay, on the face of it, not a good result.
No, but Braddon are strong.
Braddon are a very strong side, and they will do that to a lot of teams, as they've already proven. I mean, they are the current pace setters.
Yeah.
They are, they've won 3 from 3, and their goal difference is plus 18.
Yeah, so they're going to...
It shows you the amount of goals they're already scoring.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think this will probably only go one way, but I think Pulley might be able to keep it down. I mean, 4-0 is not too bad. You can see four at a strong Braddon side that have only bolstered this year, it sounds like.
Yeah.
So I go with a Michael win, but maybe 4 or 5 mil.
I think Pulley will score. I think they'll get a couple of goals on this, but yeah, I'm going to... In Michael Wynn was 6-2.
Yeah, that's a Div 2 scoring as well. Where next?
We'll go Douglas versus Braddon. Now, this is the game that Dean from Upfront Footy is going to cover. It interests them on this because obviously a lot's been said about Royal, hasn't it?
Well, Royal, they've been raided, haven't they? Let's say that. Every single player in the first team, more or less every single player in the first team, have left. And that's hard to deal with. Fair play, can I just say, fair play for getting a first team and a combi out.
Yeah, definitely.
I think that's one of the biggest things. Like, doesn't matter. All these problems with football clubs and Royals have come pulled together and they've got two teams out, and I think that's, you've got to applaud them for that. Against the Braddon though, this will be tough, I think, for them.
Yeah, I think it will. I think it's one of those where you know you're going to go against a bit of a juggernaut in Braddon.
Yeah.
They've already got that aura about them this season, and they went down last season. We talked about it a lot. They went down playing good football last year, and they seem to have just carried it on.
Yeah,
they've got a good identity on and off the pitch.
And I think they have brought in, who's the attacker they brought in? It used to be a Geordie for
Terry McGowan. He scored again last week.
He sounds like he scored a few goals, and they've seemed to have got him, like, he's back fit, and he's scoring goals for them, and he's been around the block as well, so he'll be helping the youngsters out, maybe.
Oh yeah, ex Geordies, ex Old Boy, he's Peel, you know, he's been around the block. He's and not just as a bus driver, by the way, because he is a bus driver.
So I'd go with a Braddon win, maybe a couple of Terry McGowan goals. I'm thinking maybe it could be a long old day for us. I can maybe see a steamrolling scoreline here, maybe 8 or 9.
Oof, big shout, mate.
Braddon are scoring, aren't they, in Royals? I'm fear for them.
Well, we'll talk next. The last game in Arden Kevin Drugan Division 2 is between two teams who conceded a lot last weekend, Douglaston District versus Castletown.
Castletown, now, what is going on?
I know. So we mentioned D&D shipping 13. Castletown also shipping 7 against UD at home. So it's a tough start.
I think Castletown have lost a few as well, to be fair. I know that Danny Lane and that, but I think there has been some other departures. They've still got a fair few from last year, but they're a bit all over the place. And with Everton playing this weekend, they won't have their bulky Radham Kimmy. I think he goes to most games.
Yeah. So
I can see this being a good opportunity for D&D to get their campaign underway.
Well, we say it every season. They're always capable, and they genuinely are, because they somehow always put together a big performance every now and then. And new manager in charge, good opportunity for him here to get some points on the board. So, I think a close game. I'm going to go 3-2 to D&D.
Matheson will be a happy man here.
He will. He's paid me to say that. So
I'm going to go with a D&D win as well. I think Castletown are a bit all over the place. And I think it's always not nice to see a big club. Huge club, Castletown, aren't they? So it's not nice to see clubs like that struggling so much. But, well, I can see D&D taking all 3 points. They're at home, aren't they, as well, D&D? I can maybe that advantage. Are they Springfield Road now? Are they on Grove Road?
Well, the script between the two, Matheson will correct us on this. Yeah, Springfield Road, Grove Road, who knows?
Just another example of us not being experts.
We never claim to be, so it's fine. We'll get away with it.
So where are we going to now, Dave?
That's it for Division 2. That's it for senior games. We'll obviously now switch to FC Alamance.
Yeah, so my favourite topic of conversation.
You have to say, though, a good week for the Ravens.
Very good, very good. And it was. I think it's good to see Luke Booth scoring.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll come on to that one in a sec. So basically, they had a very good performance against Bury at the bowl last weekend. It took a 95th minute equaliser from Bury to stop what would otherwise would have been a memorable victory.
Yeah.
But I think regardless of dropping those 2 points, to get a point against the Bury side that had won, I think, their previous seven games or something like that. Anyway, I can't remember, but they were in great form.
What so, a fair few over the fans.
Yeah, more than 2,000 people in the bowl.
Bloody hell.
I mean, that is fair play to them. And then off the back of that, they travelled away to Ramsbottom United in midweek, and as you mentioned, Luke Booth. So yeah, they won. They came from behind to beat Ramsbottom 2-1. Tom Creer got the equaliser. So a second half equaliser, and then a late Luke Booth winner. So a great win for them.
Yeah.
And this weekend they're at home to Cheadletown.
Cheadletown. So
we've
6 o'clock kickoff, is it?
Yeah. So we talked about Luke Booth. I've got the squad here now, so I'll read it out for anyone that wants it. But Sam Baines, Booth, Ryan Burns, Tom Creer, Jacob Crook, Ryan Gartman, Danny Gerrard, Tyler Hughes, Holly Jackson, could be easy for me to say, Josh Kennick, Adam Killier, Alex Maitland, Ronan McDonald, Kyle Watson, Steve Whitley and Ben Mosser. So what jumps out to me there is that...
No Doyle.
That's a massive... I think he's away travelling.
Oh, wow.
And obviously Dean Pennington, who missed last week's game with an injury, so he's obviously still sidelined.
Mm.
And Charlie Higgins and Callum Sherry are both suspended. Jack McVeigh is also...
If they're suspended, can they play for their local clubs?
Good question.
They better not be allowed.
I wouldn't have thought so, but I could be wrong.
I'd hate that.
Adam Adebayi and Jamie Corlett are both also unavailable.
Mm. Whether
that means they're playing for their club sides, who knows, but... yeah, so
again, should that be allowed? Really flipping in and out. Let's have some topic for another day.
Yeah, let's not go there, Tom, because we know what'll happen.
Yeah.
Right. So another big news this weekend: the women's football season starts.
Yeah, it does, and it has to be said. I think Dean put it perfectly on his Up From Footy. It's almost silly to call it a league because it's a sad state of affairs. Really, for only four teams this year. It's more of a round robin tournament than it is a league, and. Yeah, it's not nice to say. I think they did say there might be a fifth team. I think Cass kind of trying their best to get a team in, aren't they?
Yeah, so we had six teams last year. We've lost Douglas Royal, unfortunately, who are one of the powerhouses of women's football over here.
Oh, they made their women as well, did they?
Who knows, mate? But yeah, so no Douglas Royal and Castletown, as you say. But they posted on social media this week they're still looking for players. So who knows whether they might still get involved in some format. But.
So we've got Peel v Onken at home for... Oh, no, is that... Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Peel v Onken on Sunday and Corinthians versus Maloo.
So two interesting games. I mean, Peel wants to watch, Corinthians obviously wants to watch, but you never know. And then also to the Masters League this weekend as well. You've got the fixtures there, haven't
you? Governors Athletic versus Ayr at 2:10 at the Bowl, and Peel v Corinthians 3:40 p.m. at the Bowl. Colby v Laxey 2 p.m. at Laxey. Masters League back. Over 35s, we were talking about it. Andy, have you ever fancy a run out?
I mean, I can't run for the, mate. Look at the size of me, but walking football is my limit, and even then, I struggled. But
walking football, wow, that's. Yeah. We should get them with people.
I know Andy's, yeah, we should actually, but we know Andy's keen for the age limit to be brought up to 40 or even higher, because we're now in that age bracket, you see, mate.
Yeah.
You've got a long way to go,
Long way to go, but I'd probably play like a master, to be fair.
Well,
some of them are quite good, actually.
What's
the guy you were telling the score?
Chris Neen.
He's 100 goals.
Yeah, he scores for fun.
I bet he loves Masters League. When do they play them games? Sunday, is it?
So they sometimes play evening games at the bowl as well. It did have a reputation as a bit of a bone breaker league at one point. Because honestly, you couldn't go a week without a broken leg or something. I think it's settled down a bit now, but I suppose that kind of shows you the transition from going from normal, like, first team or combi football into a slower league. And I guess it's a bit of a transition, isn't it? But you probably get carried away.
Imagine that. So now for the two best bits of the week. I think everyone is excited to hear this. So first of all, we'll go to Dave Reads the Weather.
That's
not been the way around.
We could do that.
I like mixing it up. Andy's not here to talk.
Well, speaking of mixing it up, it's a bit of a mixed bag in the next couple of days. Friday will be dry and bright early on before cloud and rain come in later on and overnight. Saturday is similar, start dry but cloudy before the rain arrives later on. So it'd be interesting to see how much rain we do get overnight.
Fingers crossed games are on. Everyone always immediately jumps to Billy Goat Park. Their combi are there, their first team should be on the way.
Yeah, so. First team are away at Morley Cloyes, so we'll see. Fingers crossed. I mean, we're recording this, it's blue skies out there, it's pretty nice. But
nice cruise, by the way.
It can change pretty quickly.
It can.
It doesn't take much for Tom to get the shot.
No, it's a huge one. It looks like one of the Royal Caribbean ones. I can't imagine it is, because why the hell on earth would it come here?
Well, you work for Armand, Tom.
That's true, yeah. But no, weather could be not the best then, so we're hoping to get games on, basically.
Yeah, let's see. I think we'll still get most of them on, but there's a couple
even
of
our pitch might be a bit touch and go, could we mean we've had a bit of drainage issues, so we'll see how it goes.
Oh, you've been working there hard this week, haven't you, getting all sorts?
Well, I say working hard, I've been watching Nick Call at work hard, I must say. but now we'll go to another classic.
I wouldn't say classic.
What's it called? Is it called Comedy Corner?
Yeah.
What's the jingle? Is it Dave Reed's Comedy Corner, or is it?
I thought there is one. We don't need the jingle for Comedy Corner.
Okay, we don't. It's just
what we need is a petition from you guys to get someone else to read this, please.
You don't like doing it, do you?
I just don't like being the centre of attention. Full stop. I mean,
well, you're going to have to be again, Dave. Comedy Corner. Here
no,
we
I think while he's not here, we can force Adam Morton to do it from now on. His absence means he's volunteered to do it.
Or we just get random people in the street to do it. We just go with a camera and say, "Read our Comedy Corner."
When you're doing a vox pop, I think I'm well for that.
Okay, well, now we've just got you, though. Comedy Corner.
It's just me. Right, so I'm going to go. I've gone top of Canada Life Combination 1 thanks to an 11-2 victory over St George's at the Niverset Stadium, spearheaded by hat-tricks from George Butler and Lewis Dawson. So the O's have moved ahead of St Mary's in goal difference with the game in hand after the Saints lost 3-2 at home to Russian courtesy of a Christos Lazidis hat-trick. There are now six teams locked together on 6 points alongside those top two, with Ramsey third and St John's a fourth despite losing to Mills 5-2. It's a good result for St John's, that. For Mills, sorry, should I say. Corinthians are now fifth, joined on 6 points by Russian thanks to that winner for St Mary's. There was a close game at Glen Road, where Peel came out on top in a 5-goal thriller with Laxey winning 3-2 thanks largely to a brace from Harry Pack. And the other game in Comedy One saw Moran claim a 5-1 victory over Foxdale at the Memorial Playing Fields, but the win was overshadowed by Tom Kirby's injury. So do tell, what have you done?
Basically, I think it's not too bad. I've just sprained my ankle. It's nothing major, but I've been a bit in the wars this season.
You've had broken ribs and a damaged ankle in the first 3 weeks of the season.
It's not going well, and last year I don't think I more or less didn't miss a game, so it's just one of them things, isn't it?
It sounds like it was a bit of a bloodbath.
Well, the second half, it got a bit meaty. I think not too bad, nothing too bad. My personal highlight was Hugo leaving a late win on Michael Sloan.
Let's take a moment to talk about that then. Hugo, he's not a big guy. I mean, he's tenacious, yeah. I'll give him that, he bloody is. But you wouldn't really expect him to go full-blooded into these challenges.
No, and he was a good one. He like came from behind almost and like took Sloan out, and it just made me happy. I was already off injured and I was about to jump in the shower, and I looked down and I saw that and I thought, that just makes me a happy man.
Well, this is basically why.
Sounds weird about going to the shower.
Yeah. Well, we'll touch on that. What will you guys do after games is up to you. But basically, this is the reason why Andy's not here, is because he's taking Hugo to anger management classes.
he's so right down.
He's the red mist descendant. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
But anyway, hopefully you'll be back in the next couple of weeks.
I think so. I don't think it'll be a long one. I think hopefully we'll be back next. I'm actually going to watch Liverpool. Bournemouth on my birthday, so I won't be here next week, but Moran will be lucky and desperate to have me back for the following week.
I feel like if you're a Liverpool, you should record a bit for the podcast.
Oh, I could do. Yeah. It's only a day trip. I'm going actually with Sloane, if he can still walk after Hugo's horrendous challenge. But no, it was a quite neat game, but 5-1, it was awesome. It made me happy seeing Barn Bowman quite upset.
I'm sure you were straight back to the Crosby afterwards.
But we were, and you know what, we had a good turnout there, and it was Bobby Thorne's lead, it was fantastic. But we won't go into detail on that.
From one Moran letter to another, Arden and Kevin Drugan, combination two. Leaders Braddon continued their rich vein of scoring form with a 9-1 win at Paul Rose, helped by hat-tricks from Lex Mady and Mikey Hunt. Youthy remained level on 7 points with the Swans after their game. They were awarded a home win against Castletown on Saturday. So again, we talked about Castletown, it's a bit tough, but...
It's a bit mess, yeah.
Yeah, Colby, they suffered their first defeat of the season with a 3-2 home loss to Douglas Athletic, which is why Adam's not here today. Mm-hmm. He's still crying in the corner somewhere.
Morning.
Yeah, as he always is. Morning, Morton. And Douglas and District recorded an impressive 4-1 win over Michael United thanks to a hatchet from Shane McCormick. And lastly, James claimed their first point to the campaign with a 5-2 victory over Douglas Royal at Powell Fletcher. That's the 5 different goalscorers.
Oh, wow.
So, big scorelines. I mean, it's...
I'm intrigued that James Royals one. That sounds like a... quite a good game. Royals obviously struggling at the minute, aren't they? I mean,
do you know what? Fair play to them for getting those two teams out, because I mean, it's a club in flux at the moment, isn't it?
It is, and I think their chairman gave a comment when we were asking about it, and he was saying we've just got to keep the club together, united, and try and bounce back. They've apparently got a very good under 16 side coming through, so who knows if they'll come in. Royals, you could see.
Yeah, look, we've seen it happens. we've seen teams struggle. I mean, I know we talked about Castletown, we talked about Braddon. I mean, when Braddon went down years ago, they regrouped and they came back up really strong. They've won two out of the last three league titles. There was a time not that long ago where I think they lost nearly every game of the season. They struggled massively, but they kept on putting a team out, fair play to them, and now look at them. So
yeah,
you just it can change fairly quickly in
it
amongst
can.
Football.
So. Everything can change amongst football, like the drop of a hat.
Yeah, and on that note,
it's half an hour.